Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday Snippets. This is a time where we stop and intentionally reflect upon the readings appointed for this day. I pray that as you hear God's word, it would come into your life and it would help you in your walk with Christ. Over the next 6 weeks, I'm going to be reflecting upon the lessons from Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus. And I encourage you to take some time. It's not a very long letter, 6 chapters, to maybe sit down and read the letter as a whole so you see not just a snippet of the lesson, but see it in the context of the whole letter. So, now let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, powerful and compassionate, you shepherd your people, faithfully feeding and protecting us. Heal each of us and make us a whole people, that we may embody the justice and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our reading for appointed for this day is from the 2nd chapter of Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus. Paul writes, "Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcised by those who are called the circumcised, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access to one Spirit to the Father. So then you who are no longer strangers and aliens, but are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God." The word of the Lord. That reading is really deep. There's a whole lot here in this. But I want to take a step back to begin. And I want to think about Ephesians as kind of a whole. Ephesians, as a letter, is filled with praise for God, who is at work in Jesus Christ to put in place a plan of salvation that God destines for us and for all people to be children of God through Jesus Christ. That the author begins and lays out, here is what God is doing. And then later in the last couple of chapters, he begins with some specific kind of ways of how we live that out in our daily life, putting on the armor of God and such. And as we get to that point, we'll look at those in more detail. But it begins with this kind of more universal or holistic approach. This letter, unlike some others, doesn't have really specifics about what's going on within this community. Some of the older manuscripts don't even have the word Ephesus in it at all. It's almost as if this letter could be a letter to the whole church, or could be a letter to us today. Because really, what it's saying here in the second chapter, it's saying we who are Gentiles in the world at the time when this was written, was divided into really two camps, the Jews and non-Jews. If you were a Jew, you were a Jew. If you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. The word Gentile also sometimes means nations. So it's you who were one of the nations that was uncircumcised, that you called the other people circumcision, right? That it divides people into groups. And it says at what happens is God is at work through Jesus Christ to come to bring us together. That while we may have been away from God, Jesus comes and through his death on the cross gives us the power to become children of God so that us with those who were God's chosen people initially are one. That we were all the children of God. We are all adopted into this line that Jesus creates for us, that we might be made heirs of the kingdom of God. That the author really stresses this sense of unity. And I think that this is such an important message for our world today. We see issues and we divide up us and them, right? Pro-Israel, pro-Palestine, Republicans, Democrats. And as I record this, it's you know, soon after the news that we heard about the assassination attempt of the former President Trump, that all of this language that we become so entrenched that our side is right and the other side is wrong, that we have these divisions. And this letter really says, what God desires is not for it to be us and them, but for all of us to be children of God, to be able to see ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ. Does this mean that we don't have any disagreements? No. Does this mean there won't be conflict? No. We see in other writings in the New Testament, there were issues and conflicts that arise. But the question is, how do we see our identity and what Jesus has done? Because listen again to what he writes. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We who are far off from God because of our own actions, because of wanting to do our own thing, because of putting ourselves or something else above God, we were far off, and Jesus, by his blood, brings us near. For he is our peace. Think about that. For he is our peace. That when we are far off, when we put these other things first, it creates an internal conflict, an internal strife. And when Jesus brings us near, when the cross calls to us and we come to the foot of the cross, it grants us a sense of peace and calm. In Hebrew, it's shalom, a sense that God is with us, for he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is the hostility between us. Jesus comes so that we might be one, that we could see each other as children of God and not demonize some or cast out others who aren't like us. But rather, how do we tear down that wall, that we don't divide ourselves up, but we can work together and seek to follow the one who has called us, the one who has given us life, the one who himself does all this. For it goes on, he's the one who has abolished the law, that's with the commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity. It's not us and them, but it's us as followers of Jesus. Here's God's plan, that Jesus would come to reconcile the world to himself so that we would see Jesus as the way and the truth and the life. And that when we do that, we're no longer strangers and aliens, but we're citizens with the saints. The walls have been torn down so that we might be one. How is it in our lives? At times, we work against that. We blame this person for that, or we blame that person for this. And then when something happens, we don't seek to turn the volume down, as some have called for in our day and age right now. But rather, we seek vengeance. If they did this to our person, then we got to do this to them. This letter challenges that and says, no, that's not the way of the cross. That's not what God desires for us. That's not the way the world is supposed to work when we're serious about following Jesus. Part of it, if we're serious about saying Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if we're serious about saying Jesus is Lord and Savior, how do we allow His plan to mold and shape us? How do we take seriously these words that the author writes to say, here's the plan that God has in place. Here's what Jesus has done. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace. In His flesh, He has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. How do we do this in our daily life? Personally, I think it begins with this. It's really quite simple. We talk to one another. And we talk with people who have different views than us. So we don't just reinforce our own beliefs, but we listen. And that's the hard part, because what I see in our society today and some of the TV shows, we talk at one another. Listen to what I said. We talk at one another. And I think part of the solution is if we stop talking at one another, but we talk with one another. And maybe sometimes part of it is to remember when we communicate, it's a two-way street. And maybe what we may need to do is to do less talking and more listening. After all, I remember in elementary school, right? The teacher always used to tell us, remember, you have two ears and one mouth, and then, that should be the ratio, that we listen more. And when we listen, to be able to put the best possible construction on the other person's thoughts and beliefs, we think well of our neighbor. That's what Martin Luther says we should do in the Eighth Commandment. Where, we take, do not bear false witness. So we don't just tell false things about our neighbor. But if we think about it in the inverse, we put the best possible construction on them. And we seek to give them the benefit of the doubt. And when we do that, it tears down those walls. And we can see ourselves one in Christ. Brothers and sisters. Well, we may not always agree. After all, if you grew up in a family, brothers and sisters don't always agree. But at the end of the day, you're still brothers and sisters and have love for one another. How do we be this one body who's founded in Christ Jesus our Lord, who is our peace, who's made us as heirs of salvation, and no longer strangers and pilgrims, strangers and aliens, but citizens of the heavenly kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Savior of the world. You came so that we may have life and have it abundantly. You came not just for some, but through your death and resurrection, you call all people, Jew and Gentile, to yourself. Through you, we who were once far off are now no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens of the heavenly kingdom, with you as the cornerstone for all of our life. And it is through you that the whole structure is joined together and grows into the holy temple in your hand. Be with us and help us to see others as part of this kingdom so that we might work together to bring light to the world so that all would know of your love and faith and forgiveness and grace. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.